I want another chance at his death essence, I explained, looking at the residual essence in Dale's body. I think I could do it.
Will it cost you too much essence?
She reminded me, to which I responded with a negative. She kept asking questions, the primary being,
What will happen if it doesn't work?
It may kill him, which isn't really an issue, I suppose. It doesn't feel sporting to just kill him, though. He did just do us a huge favor, even if he doesn't know it. Plus, well, I want to see if I can fix him. If I don't do this, I may never get another chance to know if I could do it. You know me. I have pride in my work. If I try this, I want to do it right. I bent my will to the task at hand, despite her protests. I extended essence into him, trying to reestablish normal flows to his life force. I tried dozens of different things, but the thick essence in him refused to stay in a cohesive pattern. It seemed that it wouldn't unless he were able to apply his own will to the task. I could make it stay, if I were to always have him in my dungeon, but the group was already preparing to leave. He showed no signs of waking up, nor of being damaged enough to die properly. I was getting frustrated. Danny, nothing is working. The essence is just floating out of his body. It won't stay where he needs it. Too fast to be good for him, and too slow to kill him before they leave. What can I do? Danny had no idea either, obviously.
You know his pattern better than I do, Cal. If you don't know what can help him, there is nothing I could do.
His pattern? His pattern! That's it! I compared his pattern with the things I was able to create and found a single match. Me. One of the first things I had ever really understood was the body that I resided in. A soul gem, not just a beast core. Danny had told me that this was as large as I would ever become. From here on out, the essence would be poured into me like a dimensional pocket, always able to be filled, but never being full. I shifted Dale's intestines around a tiny bit, creating a perfect soul gem around his center, just below his heart, and almost against his spine. The essence which had been escaping him was quickly drawn back into what had been his center, now a highly refined beast core. A masterwork soul gem. Now, the issue was that no essence was able to leave the gem, and all the essence contained in him was being slowly drawn into it. Working quickly but carefully, I surrounded the gem with a perfect layer of rune-scripted diamond. Diamond, I had found through exhaustive testing, allowed for all essence types to move through it well. It was a spectacular conductor for all of it. Each type had a gem that allowed for perfect flows, but needed to be purely that type of essence. For instance, the topaz head on Adam's staff allowed celestial essence to flow perfectly, but would greatly impede all other types. Where his cultivation had drawn in the essence of the heavens and the earth, I made a rune, which would activate by cultivating, to draw in that power to his center, core. At each place around his meridians, where energy would flow out into his body, I placed that same rune, but inverted it in order to send energy out. At each corner of the new soul gem, I placed tiny yet powerful beast cores which would absorb only the corruption his cultivation produced. With luck, I would be able to use that for something in the future. I had done all I was able for his body. His mind would need to heal on its own. Luckily, everything I had created was small, therefore quick and easy to make. His organs were repaired, and drawing in essence should be really easy for him now. The only question I had was, would this work or kill him when everything became active? I was really excited to find out. I kick-started the fractal pattern of the essence and forcefully activated every rune within him. Then I moved my mind back to enjoy the show. Dale. Hans turned back to his fallen friend and began walking toward him. From the dead cat
They had gathered each tentacle, the last good eye, all of its teeth and claws, and a few other samples of strange organs. The cat weighed nearly half a ton. They certainly couldn't carry everything. Hans's eyes were shining with the light of essence, which he used to find the important bits of the distortion cat. He definitely wasn't using it to hold back tears. He glanced over at his fallen friend and saw essence streaming around Dale in an incredibly advanced, incomprehensible pattern. With a shout of rage, he started to run to Dale's rescue, but pulled up short as his eyes followed the trail of essence to its source. It appeared to be coming from the Silverwood tree? Hans knew that Silverwood trees were powerful and mysterious. But what was it doing? He stood away from Dale, motioning the others back when they tried to move to Dale in panic. Hans watched the barely breathing body as closely as he could, but the thick essence dancing around Dale prevented him from seeing what the pattern was creating. Several minutes later, the light finally stopped flowing, though Dale's form remained unmoving. They walked over to his body, realizing that even the mysterious forces of the dungeon's Silverwood tree could do nothing. They tried to inspect Dale for recovery, but could detect no essence whatsoever in his center. With a sob, Hans realized his comrade, his student, his friend, was truly dead. 31. Adam reached over to close Dale's eyes, but stopped as they shone a brilliant molten silver. With a gasp, he tried to move back, falling awkwardly onto his butt. Dale started convulsing, his entire body shaking in the sudden onslaught of muscle spasms.
"Hold his head!"
Adam immediately took control of the situation and shifted his thoughts back into a healing mindset.
"We need to keep him from damaging himself! He's alive!"
Hans was by Dale's side in a flash, keeping his head from bouncing around on the hard rock.
"What is happening?"
Hans shouted at Adam, who was trying to recover from his position on the floor.
"Besides Dale having a seizure? No idea,"
Adam stated grimly, lying perpendicular across Dale in an attempt to hold him against the floor.
"All I know is his heart is beating and he is breathing again."
The group piled onto Dale, holding him in different places. Adam, being so light, was nearly thrown as one spectacular shake tore through Dale's body, tearing muscles and popping blood vessels. Hans was watching everything closely, and suddenly cried out,
"Look! Look at that! His essence is pouring through his body!"
Hans was flabbergasted.
"It's going through his meridians. He hadn't opened those ones yet."
"What?"
Adam looked with essence-enhanced sight, worried that this was Dale's death throes.
"Is the essence escaping his body?"
"No, no!"
Hans shouted, realizing what effect the essence was about to have on Dale's body.
"Everyone, get off of him! Now, trust me!"
Listening to his order, the others reluctantly let go while only Hans remained to hold Dale's head. A rancid, waxy discharge started finding ways out of Dale. Through the pores in his skin, his eyes, ears, mouth, and less pleasant orifices came this loathsome fluid. It drained out of these exits as fast as liquid removed itself from the vicinity of a liquid repulsion rune. Dale's body seemed to deflate as the seemingly endless torrent continued. After what felt like hours, it did eventually stop, and Dale finally stopped shaking. Now, in what seemed to be a natural slumber brought on by exhaustion, the group tried to get close enough to help carry him away. Unfortunately, the smell made all but Hans retreat as far away as possible. Dale opened his eyes, blinking in the bright light of the room.
"Buddy?" Hans cajoled in a broken voice. "You there? Are you? Can you tell me your name?"
"Hans?"
Dale looked up into Hans's beaming face.
"What?"
Hans looked at him with sad eyes, smile vanishing.
Oh, no. Dale. Hans is my name.
Oh, my God! Be serious for once, you shit!
Rose shouted at him, braving the reeking odor to smack him on the head. Hans's smile returned as he looked down at Dale.
You all there, buddy?
Dale nodded as best he was able.
What happened?
And who?
He grimaced and spat out some foul fluid.
Who let that cat shit in my mouth?
All but Dale started laughing as the tension of the past few hours caught up with them. Eventually, Dale tired of scowling and joined in. A few moments later, wiping a tear from his eye, Dale sobered a bit.
So seriously, though, what happened?
You died, Hans replied cheekily. The others glared at him, making Hans mutter.
What? He got better.
Before that, please. Dale released a strange chuckle, sigh at his incorrigible friend. Tom took over.
When I fell, and you charged the cat in a suicide run, I was losing blood faster than I could regain my will to fight. I tried so hard to join you, but could not muster the strength to continue.
His face was downcast and ashamed.
Seemingly, my prayer to die in battle was rejected this day, and I was flooded with the berserker energy of my forefathers. This energy healed my wounds and allowed me the chance to finish our foe. I beg of you, forgive my weakness.
He bowled towards Dale's prone form. Rose pushed Tom aside, shaking her head.
Not what happened. Not even close. When you charged the cat and held its attention, those golden rabbits snuck out of hidden tunnels and infused us with healing energy. There were dozens, Dale. All of our wounds righted themselves nearly instantly before they ran off. But I think we will carry these scars forever.
She nodded at the slashes across Tom's chest and Adam's legs, which by rights should never have had the chance to heal.
Wow!
Dale's head flopped back, and he looked enviously at the huge slashes of scar tissue on Tom's chest.
The ladies are going to love those scars.
Hans laughed deeply and evilly.
Finally, my teachings are starting to take root. No worries, Dale. You have some very impressive scars yourself.
Dale glanced down at the raised circle of scar tissue directly over his heart.
Well, that can't look good on the inside, Dale muttered anxiously.
Hans shook his head, still somehow amused.
I don't think it will be an issue, my boy. I do think you need a long bath. Maybe two. Or three. He sniffed and shuddered.
Yeah, what is this stuff? It seems to be coming from me and I can't seem to stop smelling it.
Dale's attention was now back on the clinging fluid, bringing the horrid smell to the forefront of his senses.
Seriously, normally you acclimate to horrible stenches, yeah?
Unless I am mistaken, it seems that all of your meridians were open simultaneously. If you were awake for that process, it likely would have shattered your mind with the pain.
Obviously, this must have taken a huge amount of essence. While you had some in you, it wasn't nearly enough to account for everything that happened,
Hans informed him.
It seems the Silverwood tree is what supplied the essence, and, I think, it revived you as well.
Oh, good. They don't realize it was me.
Dale shook his head at the unexpected sound. A strange, flat, tonal voice had sounded in his head.
What?
Dale was looking around.
The Silverwood tree, Hans started, concern showing on his face.
No, I heard that. What was that other voice?
Dale interrupted him with a wave of his hand.
Danny? Did he hear me?
The voice rang in Dale's head again.
Is that possible? I am not projecting to him!
Hans was looking at him, very concerned now.
Another voice? No one else talked, Dale. Let's get you a nap, huh, buddy?
Good idea, Danny. They always seem to forget things when they have new toys.
Dale whipped his head around, trying to find the person speaking. A sudden clatter of metal sounded in the room as loot dropped around them, closer than to his body Dale had ever seen appear. Normally, loot seemed to fall in an area well away from people.
Holy crap! Look at these!
Rose shouted, peering at the pendant she had just picked up off the ground.
This is a ruined item. Anyone recognize it?
They all looked at the pendant, but did not recognize its inscription. There was one for each of them, but they were loath to use them without it being inspected.
Oh, come on, Danny. If they use those outside of here, I'll at least be able to get more essence if they die in here. Plus, I want to see if it works. All they should have to do is have it pressed against their skin near a meridian.
Dale was sure there was an invisible person standing behind him and whipped his demolished weapon around. He glanced at the remains of his morning star. It had been mostly destroyed by the acid and shattered by the beast they had fought.
Fine, fine. I have a better version for him anyway.
Dale was starting to panic. A thunk at his feet made him jump and yelp. A shining, pristine morning star lay underneath him. There were a few differences from the original. For one, the head of the weapon seemed to be crystal, with electrum-filled runes forming a powerful rune script on it. Electrum was a mix of gold and silver, both soft metals, so Dale was unsure of its usefulness in combat. Next, the hilt was also covered in rune script, but this time in a way he somewhat recognized. The rune was the same he had on his... It would send the head of the weapon out a few feet from the shaft, giving him range in combat. The most noticeable difference, though, was the ridiculous size of the thing. Where his hand would go was normal-sized, and long enough that he could use both hands to swing it if he gave up his shield. From that point upward, the shaft was 3 times larger than he was used to, looking like a large sapling or small tree. The crystal head of the weapon was twice the width of his head, if you included the spikes. Dale picked the weapon up. More accurately, he tried to. Still weak from freaking dying, he could barely shift the weapon. He looked at the hilt and saw the same rune there as Tom had, which would make the weapon feather light. Dale reached for his essence, which was instantly available to him. The ease with which it moved at his command was startling in itself. Maybe it had to do with all of his meridians being opened? With a small burst of essence, he activated the rune, unknowingly also binding the Morning Star to himself. Now easily lifting the massive weapon of war, he gave it a few practice swings. He remembered that he should test the range of the activation that moved the head away, so he pointed it away from his friends. He aimed at the wall roughly 10 feet away, and activated the rune. The shards of stone flying through the air and the thundering of rock being shattered made the entire group dive for cover. Shock covered Dale's face as blood from a new cut across his cheek dripped down into his mouth. He deactivated the rune, and the head of the weapon returned to him, affixing itself onto his hilt.
I feel rather tired of unknown weapons killing my friends in here, Tom calmly stated, brushing rock dust off of his arms. Very interesting, though.
I think we should do our cultivating and leave,
Rose directed in a deceivingly calm manner. Locks of her hair had been sheared off by the razor-sharp stone, and it was obvious she was working hard not to attack Dale. Face pale, Dale nodded, and they all sat in a meditative pose in the center of the massive rune script on the floor, near where essence was appearing in liquid form. They each agreed not to drink it after hearing Adam's account of its use. Though it would fill them with essence, Adam warned them that it would make their ki spiral unstable, possibly burning them, making their centers explode, or damage their meridians beyond repair. The only reason Adam had survived its use was that he had been almost entirely out of essence. Even then, he had had to use most of it as fast as possible. The highly purified essence in the air still allowed them to cultivate for far longer, and with greater gains than they ever had been able to before, stretching the bounds of what they could hold at any given time. Dale had another shock as he began. As he opened himself to the heavens and the earth, essence fluttered into him in a titanic wave of energy. He gasped and tried to understand what was happening. In a flash, he realized what was different. He had only ever pulled in essence along the most open channel, his earthen affinity. After waking up, all of his affinity channels were open. He was pulling essence in from every possible source simultaneously. The wave of energy blasted along his spirals, refining deeper and stronger key threads. The fractal pattern in his center, which had become even rougher and more splintered after dying, smoothed itself, repairing every flaw along the millions of spirals. When this process finished, his cultivation speed became even faster. In a short time, he had broken into D-Rank 1, shattering his previous boundary to advancement at a speed that should have been impossible. By the time they were finished cultivating for the day, he was halfway into D-Rank 2. Dale decided to keep the information to himself as they began their ascent into the world above. Cal.
What a day!
Danny sagged, the tension in her voice finally receding.
No kidding! You would not believe what I got out of that distortion cat. First of all, I reached D-Rank 5! I bragged while shining in pleasure as she happily chattered at me. Also, I have enough information to make that distortion cat if I want. Well, I coughed as she looked at me in horror. A young version of it anyway. A D-Rank 3 at best, but with this essence, well... I directed her attention to the liquid essence. I think they can rank up quickly. No tentacles. Those were what made it insane. Without that parasite, though, it'll have a mouth and could be altered with corruption like the Bashers were.
Maybe we wait a few days before trying new things again?
Danny pleaded.
Let's just relax some. Maybe a month or two?
Anything for you, Danny. There is one little issue.
Oh, Lord, what did you do now, Cal?
I thought hard on my answer.
So, you know how I can feel all of my creatures, experience what they do, and influence them? If they were created by me, they are always mobs?
Danny looked extremely nervous.
Yes?
And when I use my essence to give them life or whatever, they also come under my influence? They become dungeon-born? Though if they are smart or strong enough, I can't directly control them, but they can hear my commands and experience what they do?
Spit it out, Cal!
I think, mind you, I am not certain, but I think I may have made Dale, dungeon-born.
Damn it, Cal!
Epilogue. Far to the south, a stinking hole of a swamp denoted the boundary between the Lion and Phoenix kingdoms. Each spring, the snow melts of the Phantom Mountains would wash through here, thickening the sludge with fertile silt. This always caused a population boom for the insects, as they found places to lay their eggs and fed well off drowned animals. Deep in the swamp, on a plot of land only accessible by the brave or the knowledgeable, stood an ancient fortress. There was nothing about the fortress that seemed out of place. It was a mold-covered ruin beneath the notice of any well-groomed noble, and no commoner would willingly come into this swamp. If someone did manage to stumble upon this place, they may remark on the grotesque statues and carved work on the walls. They may see the shrunken skulls on spikes every few feet along the battlements, with burning eyes that seem to follow them as they walked. The same people may feel compelled to mention the odd lights, the chanting, and screams of pain and horror that intermittently escaped this place. The only issue was, those people never seemed to survive long enough to warn others.
Finally,
a dark voice pulsed, sounding raspy from lack of fresh water.
I want a drink, a bath, a woman, and a hot meal. I don't care what order.
The man, who had months ago attacked Dale, followed by being forced off Dale's mountain, squelched the remaining distance through the clinging mud to the entryway of this lost fortress. He looked into the burning eyes of a skull and sneered.
Oh, hurry up and open the door. You know who I am.
The skeletal grin mocked him and chattered a few times, its jaw chittering as the trapped spirit attempted to attack him. With no body to extend its reach, it finally sent a mental command to the undead manning the gates, and the drawbridge started opening. The rusted, screaming hinges slowly pried themselves outward. The man groaned as he thought about what was coming, then walked into the courtyard. Undead of every type bustled around, completing the tasks assigned to them. Workers and warriors all, each fervently awaited the moment their commands would allow them to feast on the flesh and essence of the living beings of the castle or outside world. A sibilant voice caressed his soul as much as the man's ear, speaking to him and his deeper self.
Well, come home, little morsel. The master has been waiting for you. I do hope you have good news for him. He has been ever so agitated recently.
The man looked up in disgust at the demon looking down over the courtyard, expertly enforcing his will on the undead below. A taskmaster, the demon excelled at creating perfect order. The decade-long restoration of this fortress would not have gone near as smooth without its expert direction.
Stay out of my head, and don't speak unless I tell you to. Bad enough that I have to smell you and be on the same plane as you. Hearing you is just too much filth for my mind to bear.
The man then arrogantly turned his face away, stopping with a startled yelp as he found that the demon was now directly in front of him. It grinned, satisfied by its small victory, mockingly bowing out of his way. Speed increasing, the now apprehensive man rushed to the inner sanctum to make his report. The demon had never before done anything like that. He hurriedly knocked at the door, trying to get his breathing and mind under control. He had no opportunity to clean or rest. The master had demanded his report as soon as possible. The demon would never have interrupted his master otherwise. The door swung open into a perfectly silent room. As he stepped across the threshold, all outside noise died. Even the light that dared enter here seemed muted. The color leached out of it. Passing through shades of gray and black, his pulse accelerated, roaring thunderously in his veins, the sound of it threatening to burst his eardrums. He stopped a dozen yards from the master in front of him. The master was sitting in a lotus-style meditation pose. Not out of reverence or respect did the man stop his forward movement. No. It was the dense necrotic energy thick in the air which forced him to remain where he was.
Master,
he murmured, meticulous as possible in his presentation of manners as he genuflected.
I have come with news of the newly formed dungeon. As you predicted, it is already becoming a place thick with life and treasure. The acolytes sent there with the soul stone you created some time ago did not completely fail, it seems. Their sacrifice created the dungeon, though they were unable to nurture it as they had been ordered. More than that, a silverwood tree has bloomed within it.
He remained as he was, head pressed to the ground long enough that he began to wonder if he had been heard. Perhaps the master was resting? He began to sweat harder.
You did well,
my child. A modulated, honey-sweet, deep voice responded. For too long now, the light has been burned into the world, forcing it to give more and more to the greedy children of the sun. It is time to return the soothing darkness to the land and allow it to rest. The creation of the stone took but a moment. We need not concern ourselves with a small dungeon on the edge of the world. The prone man nodded as best he was able, unable to speak with the power of the master's voice ringing in his body. The explosive power contained in that voice knocked dirt from his clothes and shook dust from the ceiling. The deep shadows, swirling with tortured faces, wailed soundlessly as the master stood. It had been 5 years since he had moved from the spot he was sitting. The floor below now crumbled to dust, reduced from once beautiful marble. "Gather the acolytes," the master commanded. "Meet me by the tar pits. We have slaves to awaken." He faded away like the morning mist as he began to complete his goals. "Also, bring me someone with a soul suitable for becoming an infernal dungeon. It is time to build an arsenal." The bowing man tried not to cry out as the infernal aura surrounding his master brushed past him, scalding his arm from this distance, although it was his own affinity. He stood and rushed off to obey, not a complaint, nor any thought except instant obedience, crossing his terrified mind. This concludes Dungeonborn by Dakota Kraut. Narrated by Vikas Adam. Copyright 2016 by Dakota Kraut. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Dakota Kraut and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.